Welcome back to Neuroconversant Leadership, where we talk about effective communication in the STEM workplace. I'm Jeremy Doran, and I help excellent contributors make the transition into becoming excellent managers and leaders. Are you excited about political season? The ads, the arguments, and the absurdity of so much of it? Today, we're going to talk about how people weaponize words and use labels to win political arguments. Sounds fun, right? Well, it is political season. I personally barely got through the primaries. And now we're gearing up for the heavy-duty battles. All of those advertisements and the commercials, they just wear me out. It seems to me that using labels in politics is the way to paint a picture of your opponent in very broad strokes and avoid talking about any actual issues. And the politicians are in a race to label each other before each of them gets to label themselves. That person's a socialist or a right winger or a dino or a rhino. Those are Democrats or Republicans in name only. And sometimes it only takes one small comment for that label to stick. But once it does, oh boy, all the assumptions and the baggage that go with that label are now stuck to that person. It's maddening to watch them do it. I find it even worse when people I know doing it in conversations or debates or arguments, whatever you want to call them, about politics. And I mentioned earlier weaponizing words. It's interesting. I looked that word up, and in American English, it's spelled with a Z. And it almost always means actual weapons, like taking a car and turning it into a weapon, something like that. In British, it's spelt with an S, and it's more general, and it can be taking anything that's not dangerous and turning it into something dangerous. So when I say weaponizing words, that's what I'm referring to, and that's what labels do a lot of. Give you two examples of times that it's happened to me. I one time was having a conversation, and I mentioned how much I liked the book The Fountainhead. Now, I know Ayn Rand is very controversial, but I happen to really like that book. Someone in the room did not like Ayn Rand at all, and he said, oh, so you're one of those quote-unquote fans of Ayn Rand. You belong to the Ayn Rand Institute and go along with all of her ideas. I was really taken aback. I do not belong to the Ayn Rand Institute, I told him. I think that institute tries to shape people's social and political beliefs far beyond what Ayn Rand ever actually wrote. And it's the opposite of what I got out of the books. What I got out of the books was the fact that we should all learn to think for ourselves and not fall into the trap of letting others tell us what to believe. He shook his head and he said, no, that's not what her books are about. It's about the selfish and the powerful exploiting the weak for their own financial gain. I'm like, really? Is that what you got out of the book? He said, oh, I never read that book. Those books are crap. I'm like, well, then how do you know what it was actually about? He said, I've read hundreds of reviews and articles, and I know everything I need to know about her and her beliefs. Yikes. So my response was, so you're telling me that I'm wrong in my opinion that her books were about not letting other people tell us what to think because you read articles from other people who want to tell you what to think about her ideas? Long story short, we never came to any sort of an agreement, and we had to walk away from each other. All I need to know, if you ever hear the phrase, all I need to know, or if you use it yourself, end the conversation right there. Walk away. No good conversation is going to come after the phrase, I know everything I need to know about X. In another election cycle, I was debating some political ideas with someone, and it was so frustrating because he wouldn't actually debate the topics. He just kept referring to what different politicians said and what he thought of different politicians. This was a different person, by the way. But he did repeatedly call me a liberal, and he often referred to, quote unquote, your boy Bernie Sanders. And I can tell you, he did not mean either of these things as a compliment. It was really frustrating. And I said, if you think I'm a liberal, you name five topics and I will tell you my position on them. And let's see if I'm really liberal, really conservative, or what. And so he named five topics. I'm not going to tell you what they were. And I was actually more conservative than him on three of those topics. and we agreed on one. And on one, he was actually more conservative than I was. And it really set him back. It was so interesting. Once he had labeled me a liberal, he truly believed that my position was going to be whatever he viewed a liberal as. And these were things that we had never once talked about. He just made the assumption. So the liberal carries so much baggage with that label. Conservative carries so much baggage. Whatever label you put on someone, there's so much baggage attached to it. It makes conversations completely useless. I didn't label that myself. He labeled me a liberal. And once we got into specifics, he realized that his assumptions were wrong more than half the time, but it really took me to force the issue in order for him to get there. I think labels are really dangerous in politics and religious. In any kind of contentious conversation, labels can do so much damage. So I challenge you, the next time you're in a discussion around politics or religion, do your best to get your point across without using any labels. And if the other person uses a label, stop and ask them what they think that label means. The answer is likely going to be something like, you know exactly what it means, or it's going to contain another label in there, or it's going to be just so broad and vague that it won't really mean anything. Try to get them to drill down to the specific topic and then debate just those specific topics. And if you ever hear someone say, I know all I need to know about X, just walk away. Those are my thoughts on labels. In a future episode, I'm going to want to talk about the use of bromides in conversations, and I want your help. I'm not talking about the compound containing bromine. The bromide I'm talking about is a common saying or proverb that's obvious, but usually not that helpful. Like, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Sometimes they're good reminders of things, but often they're just throwaway comments so that you don't have to really think about your response. So, what I'm asking for is your help. Will you please go to my website, neuroconversantleadership.com, go to the contacts, and share a bromide that you find particularly interesting, whether that means it's actually useful or it's not useful at all, and give me the story behind it. I'd love to use your example in that episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great day.